Okay, it is Friday. It's the last hour of the show for the week, and it's where we sort of park all the serious stuff to some extent, and we talk about all things entertainment. And listen, it's a broad church. It could be you're entertaining yourself climbing Errigal, watching telly, listening to a podcast, listening to this show, whatever. As I say, talk to us about what you're doing for fun this weekend. Maybe you're hoping to make the most of the last bit of good weather. Right, KT OK is with us now. Good morning, KT.
Hello.
You
says
your name was KT OK. But you did. He says, my name's KT OK, right?
Yeah.
Did you or did you not?
I did, but you can just call me Katie for short. I don't mind.
Katie OK.
We're on casual terms.
Katie for short.
It's kind of funny because Katie OK was a pirate radio station broadcasting above Abracababra in Donegal Town about 40 years ago.
Lovely. So
I think it was called Katie OK because they managed to get the jingles. I think it was a man called Russ Padmore. I think he's still involved in radio. But they sourced the jingles and then named the station after the jingles because they got all this professional pack of jingles for the KTOK station.
Yeah. I like to think that I've been inspiring Donegal since I was born. Oh, or almost. Yeah.
And listen, you know? Hey, I think it was beautiful that you called your child 2FM.
I would never.
But they broadcast, and I mean, at that time when KTOK was on air, they were broadcasting an FM, but RTE was still only on Media Wave. So it was an FM station in Donegal before the Nationals were broadcasting routinely on FM.
Yes, because I remember particularly the 2FM, when 2FM became, when it moved. I remember the big thing. They made a big deal of the fact that they were, that was a...
So Dan Arway, I don't know what was up here. Dan Arway, we had Glencoe Radio, which was out of Mount Charles, and KTOK out of Donegal Town. That was it.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's other stations up here, but at that stage, I didn't know anything existed north of... or in a small gap, if the truth be told.
Yeah.
And now my eyes have been opened to this fantastic world. Right, Michael, how was your week?
My week was
all
good.
Gone good?
Good. Busy week, but that's a good thing. I like being busy.
Were your ears itchy, nose itchy yesterday?
I heard it.
You did?
Okay. I heard it in playback last night. I was told about it at work.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, my God, what disparaging things did Greg... But no, it was fine. He bit his tongue.
Let them at it.
You let them at it. They were lovely. I know them, obviously. I work with them.
Of course,
and they're dead.
And we're doing a show with them. We have a show with them in the Radisson, I think, shortly as well. Which, looking forward to learning more about Cara House and all the work they do. Katie, how was your week?
It was really good. Yeah. Yeah. It was very good.
You all survived the birthday celebrations last Sunday?
I did. I did. Yes. 31.
Can't say the
children.
Same for Century.
She wasn't in Century, so...
Where was it then? I can't remember.
Arena 7.
Arena 7, sorry.
Yeah. No, they were very well
looked
after. Where's
Arena 7? Oh, yeah. But listen, isn't this town...
And you were looking forward to it.
Isn't this town lucky to have two spots like
that? Oh, really good. Yeah. And they were really well looked after. And it was a lot of children, but she was so happy with herself and her princess cake and her princess life for the whole weekend. So I think she's kind of on a come down now of all the presents, but, you know...
With the super hyper. Because I do remember how excited... I remember going home from Highland last week and thinking to myself, wow, Katie for short is really looking forward...
Katie for short.
Is really looking forward to this weekend with all the kids. And you are. You were so excited.
Katie OK knows what the story is.
Oh, sorry, it's Katie OK.
No, it's Katie OK
for short.
She
said Katie... I thought it was Katie for short.
It's a three-letter name, Katie for short.
And I'm assuming it's hyphenated, which is very posh.
Yeah.
Katie for short.
Triple
barrel.
Come here. I started watching...
Television.
Television, and then I watched on that television The Perfect Couple, the first episode.
What do you think?
I don't know. Is it a comedy? Is it?
No, not really. No, it's.
Everyone's so... the characters are also exaggerated.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's not like... it's not to be taken super seriously.
My problem is it's remembering everybody's name.
Yeah.
And very quickly they start
Katie,
going
for sure.
Well,
very quickly they start talking about people's names.
I kind of get where you're coming from in the beginning because there's a lot. There's like, and I'm not ruining anything here, but obviously there's all these characters are coming in and it's kind of shows snippets of them all being interviewed by the police. And
oh, you're spoiling
they're,
it. Now.
They're all kind of they are all kind of exaggerated, but it does. Michael's wrecking the place.
I know.
It does kind of settle down a bit from that now. So.
And I didn't know Bono's daughter was an actress.
Yeah, do you remember that show Behind Her Eyes that that was on, that was really, really popular? That's herself as well. So yeah, there you go now.
She's an interesting character, isn't it?
Yeah,
no,
she is, yeah.
Right, okay. Now, let's start with the Grand Tour, One for the Road. I watched this not so long ago. Jeremy Clarkson, James May, Richard Hammond together for one last trip.
One last
what
trip.
What did you think of it?
Well, I really enjoyed it, and I'll tell you for why. First of all, I think the nostalgic element of it was really, really good. You know, I spoke to my dad about it, and he's like, oh, it was very similar to some of the older ones that they've done. And that's the point.
That's exactly what I liked about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And they kind of brought in different things that they've done. Again, for anyone who's not watching, I'm not going to say too much about it, but they brought in some stuff that they've sort of done quite well over the years, and the comedy is still there. It didn't dilute in comedy over the years, I don't think. It was still just as funny. They were going from one side of Zimbabwe to the other. Beautiful, beautiful scenery and beautiful, you know, just beautiful to watch as well. And very, very good, now I have to say, and quite sad.
Yeah, what I thought about this and why I enjoyed it is it seemed to me that all three of them enjoyed it. Like, yeah. I think there's a couple of the more recent ones, particularly when they went to Prime and they got rid of the tent and all that nonsense, that James May, the last few, he seemed disinterested or not a part of it. You could say the same for Richard Hammond or what have you. I think some of the, I mean, all of Top Gear, it's always scripted reality, right? Mm-hmm. So they didn't just happen to decide that they were going to go to the final spot, right? All that kind of stuff. But this was back to the old school where they all seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Which I think is good because it's like, you know, you're only as good as your last gig. And I think it's good that they sent it out with that sort of feeling that this is the same guys we've watched for 20 years, but they're all very old.
Well, that's undeniable. But
they lean into that.
Yeah, and I felt when it, like you mentioned there, when it moved over to Prime, that it just dulled a bit or something. Like you say, they didn't seem to enjoy it as much. And it also, the whole thing just, for me, dialed down now.
They tried to take the elements of the BBC show and do them, but do them in a different way. And the success of the BBC show is that it's done that way.
Yeah, I like this. I like the silliness of it, and as kind of reminds me, because when I was growing up, my dad used to work quite a lot on cars. That's his passion. So like, we used to go to Mondello quite a lot and to racing or rallies, different rallies and that kind of thing. And it's sort of, I don't know whether it's a nostalgic thing for me, but just kind of see that humour, like, you know, grown men being a bit silly and, you know, playing pranks on each other and you know, nothing too mean.
They toned it down that a bit as well, I think, in this episode. Well,
did they? I don't know. Maybe they did. But in any case, I just found it to be... I find it to be kind of a nice thing, and it's like that. It's nothing mean. It's nothing like that. It's just everyone just having a laugh at each other's expense.
And I'm happy that that's it. It's well past its sell-by date, I think.
Yeah.
I think they've flogged the horse. Beyond recognition. Yeah.
And they can go and
do their own things now.
Yes, well, what they actually do now is actually remains to be seen.
Well,
it'd be interesting.
Well, Richard Hammond's got his. Little cog or whatever, his small cog show, doing very well. James May's flat out doing programmes for Amazon, the cooking shows and travel shows. And Jeremy Clarkson, he's got, of course, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
And he has the farm show.
Clarkson's Farm. Yeah. So they're all, you know, they're all doing all right. Like.
Yeah, well, true enough. Sorry, I stand corrected. Yeah. Katie's not okay.
But my word, it's funny, the passage of time, but there's a scene at the end, which is not a spoiler because it's not that type of thing, whereas they managed to get some footage from the BBC, I believe, and it just shows the three lads at the beginning and at the end, and you'd have to have a heart of stone not to the pure passage of time that's affecting us all to see that they've had fun. They've had a lot of fun. I won't miss the old pat in the car and saying all that nonsense.
Yeah. I was surprised because we were looking up sort of their ages and that kind of thing not last night, the night before, and I was very surprised to see how young Hammond was whenever he was doing the first time round. You know, I think he was only in his
30s
or something.
Gooch. Richard Hammond.
I get it.
Richard Hammond
I get
and Lee
it.
Gooch. Every time I look at Richard Hammond, I think, there's Lee Gooch there.
Yeah. Lee Gooch, if he kind of calmed down a little bit. Lol.
I think it's the reverse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just see there's a little, not height wise or particularly looks wise. I'm not saying that there's.
I get it.
But there's something. If I look at Richard Hammond, I think, is that Lee Gooch?
There's mannerisms. Kind of,
I could see Lee Gooch doing all that crap. And then I look at Jeremy Clarkson and I think, is that Michael Letty? Right, so it's a big thumbs up, even for just pure nostalgia. It's a good show, and as you say, Zimbabwe is lovely, and it's always sort of semi been a travel show, even though it's not purporting to be. It makes you want to go and visit these places.
Absolutely.
So it's good, but I think for me it was more the nostalgia, the full stop on it, and the show was stuff we've seen before.
Yeah. And then for only the only tiny other thing I would say is some of the place that they're driving, you're like, your stomach is on the floor. You're
but
like,
they
oh my
to
God.
Go there.
Oh, I know that. I'm not saying that they're, you know, like being tricked into it, but it's just you're watching it on the TV going, oh my God, I would, you know. I think I'd rather just, you know,
all right,
sit down.
Okay. You've continued down the podcast rabbit hole, Michael.
Big time, yeah.
So
that's not even all I've listened to this week. I walk a lot. Yeah,
of course you do. Give us a pick of which one you want to
talk about.
I think it
has
first.
To be, again, going with what's very popular right now. I'd say The Real Carrie Jade is the one maybe to chat about.
Right, talk to me about that.
The Real Carrie Jade is a story of a woman, very fascinating woman, who contacted RTE a few years ago, pitching the idea of them doing a documentary on her. And they did. They thought it was worth doing. And they met with her. And in the first episode, we get to hear some of the recordings. They recorded, I think they say, the narrator, she says they recorded about 4 hours with her. And she explains her story in that she has a terminal illness, terminal diagnosis. And it's a degenerative neurological disease, which is impacting on her life in many ways. She's English of background and she's living in Kerry at this point. And she's very perky, upbeat. Even on listening to her voice, she's very charming, very, very likeable lady. And she is interviewed and Ronan follows her around. Ronan does that thing, the RTE podcast I've listened to this week, I noticed they do this thing that Greg loves. They don't mic up the producer.
Up. Like, I know what they're trying to do, but just use a microphone.
Yeah,
we don't
I agree,
need the producer.
And I have to say, one of the side effects of doing the entertainment slot, of course, people, is that now Greg Hughes lives in my head rent-free. Because anytime I see drone footage in anything, I think of Greg Hughes.
Yeah, but it's like,
and every time every time the person's not mic'd.
How does that make you feel? Do you know what I mean?
And then they amplify it so you can hear it. So really it's just like off mic, but at the same volume level.
It's just weird.
It's completely pointless.
Yeah, I agree.
Like,
yeah.
If you are going to interview someone, for a
second
moment
mic
consider
can't be
there
that expensive.
Might be a microphone. There might be a point that you might want to record what you want to say as well. Mm. But I understand, though, it's the painting by numbers podcast creation. But anyway, it is what it is, and I'm glad you thought of me.
I did. So basically, we hear this woman's story, and it's very blah, 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 affecting blah, usual. As she's speaking, the narrator, the lady who's narrating this show, tells us periodically, everything we're listening to is a lie.
Mm.
Every word of it. Everything. Even the woman's name.
Wow.
And we discover, then they go back in time, and they paint the picture of this woman who came from England, had a tragedy in her life, which they go into in great detail. And they warn people about that because it involves the accidental death of her baby in 2008.
Oh, God.
I know, yeah, horrendous. But they go into it in great detail for reasons that do make sense. But they paint a picture of her growing up and they travel. Ronan travels to England and he interviews some people. Some people come on the microphone. Some people are voiced up, as they say. But we paint a picture of her youth and then she comes to Ireland and travels around Ireland and goes from county to county, using different names. In some situations, she would be an au pair, working with a family.
And actually be an au pair or purport
working with
to
them,
be one?
Working, getting a job with a family. Also, she was setting up a women's refuge. Also, she was taking children with extra needs, as they say in the podcast, extra needs, to Lapland and drumming up quite a lot of money from a lot of parents. She was also telling other parents in different parts of the country that she could provide them with specialised equipment that they would need for their homes because their children would be. So the people that are her victims are interviewed at great length over the 6 episodes of this podcast, each one running about 45 minutes. And each one is called I Am. So the first one is I Am Carrie Jade. Then it's also I Am Lucy Fitzwilliams, one of her names, whatever. So over the last 10 to 15 years, she has been all around the southern part of the country.
So, obviously, any questions I ask, if they're spoilers, ignore.
Yeah, totally.
So, is this a lady that is coming clean? That she now actually has a condition which is, you know, she's a neurological condition, and now's her time to open up? Or is this just...
Every word of that was a lie. Everything with that was just another scam.
Okay.
That was another scam.
So why would she seek out RTE? We listen and that's part of
it. You listen as part of it. I mean, I can answer that. It's not a spoiler. I mean, it's not a spoiler, but the profile of the lady that they're able to put together is that she has mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is that she's a fantasist.
Okay.
Who lives... Like, one of her schemes was that she was getting married to... Fionn is one of her...
victims.
One of her imaginary husbands. Okay, one of her husbands-to-be. And, yeah, she has a few in different parts of the country. So, one of the things is, when she's rumbled in various places, she has left, she has abandoned, dropped everything and left rooms. And when people go into the rooms, in one instance, they found in the room not only notebooks to keep track of things, but also, in this particular situation, a wedding dress that she just had in the room.
Okay, to substantiate whatever...
Well, nobody saw it. It wasn't... Okay. They were talking about what was this... nobody understands why it played out.
Wow, okay.
Also, I mean, there's so much to say about her. I know we're pressed for time, but she's also a successful published author.
She actually is.
For real. Mm-hmm. Using the Carrie Jade persona, she won a Financial Times Literary Award.
Mm.
She... Her stories, which we hear excerpts from even, are really good. She's an excellent writer. No surprise, because she's a natural storyteller.
Just using some her of
the
skill set.
Yeah, some of the stories you hear are difficult to listen to because she's preying on vulnerable people.
Yeah.
People like who needed... One of the worst examples is a family who desperately needed to have a child. She put herself forward as a surrogate mother, got money from them for this and that and another, and led them down the garden path, which is cruel.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely cruel. And they are spoken to. So there's a lot more that I'm not referencing here. The podcast is fairly new. It is updated with current information. There is a second podcast out there about this woman, which was put together last year, called Carrie Jade Does Not Exist. I haven't heard that one yet.
But is that by RTE as well?
No, it's not by RTE. And RTE announced in the final episode of this one that RTE are going to do a documentary series about her on television.
That's really interesting. And do you know what? They'll probably make a hames of that, whereas the podcast is probably really good. Really good.
And the last thing I would say, I know we're pressed for time, but
if you keep saying we're pressed for time, I'm going to throw water over you.
But the thing about it is...
In a non-violent way.
After listening to it, I then went on YouTube. Mm. And as I say, you can find videos on YouTube where she is introduced from about 2-3 years ago as an acclaimed writer and as an influencer. And she's, so, you know, I didn't see what she looked like. I deliberately didn't see what she looked like until I had finished the show. And then I see her and she's really attractive and pretty and very likable. And you kind of think, even after listening to all 6 episodes, I watched some of the clips last night late and I was like, well, I kind of could really, I was empathizing with her even though she was lying.
Yeah.
So she's amazing, and it's a story that's unfolding. That's all I'll say.
I think that's really interesting because it does it does point to the fact that, you know, human character's complex, isn't it? All right, brilliant stuff. Okay, that's Michael Leddy. The Real Carrie Jade is a podcast. I presume it's available on the
Spotify,
RTE.
I got it from RTE, but Spotify have it too, yeah.
So The Real Carrie Jade. And I'll tell you, it's really quite interesting, given the popularity of podcasts. I hadn't heard of this before. I listened to a bit of RTE, never heard this before, so it's really actually useful.
I think it's number 3 in the country this week, or last week.
And I think that might be growing organically with people talking to each other. But if you're into podcasts or listening to audio in a different way, The Real Carrie Jade, available in where you normally get your podcasts. And now we are blessed at the moment here across the Northwest to be in the throes of an Indian summer, which is going to hopefully continue into Monday, but then northerly winds change the weather a little bit. And very soon it'll feel darker in the evenings and darker in the mornings. I like that, to be honest with you, because I sort of set my head to winter mode. But then you head into December, Christmas is over, then it's January, and January and February can feel like a bit of a slump because there's no summer holidays and all that kind of stuff. So wouldn't it be... Pardon? What are you saying?
That's a really good synopsis of the
that's
month.
That's exactly what it is. I'm actually in a flow that you've ruined, by
sorry.
The way, which is actually to your disadvantage. So given all I said without the interjection, why not have something very nice to look forward to early February, from the 3rd to the 6th of February, in fact, because Highland Radio is today launching its Cavan Country Getaway. And we're going to be staying at the Sleeve Russell Hotel, which is a highly renowned, luxurious hotel. And you're going to have luxury transfers, a dinner every evening, the 3rd, 4th, 5th and 6th. So it's the 3rd to the 6th. Dinner each evening, bed and breakfast. So of course, it would be some crack if we were not putting you up as well. So you get your dinner at night, you get your breakfast, and we have loads of music and entertainment as well. Some of the acts include Michael English, Robert Mazzell, David James, Jack Kyo, Olivia Douglas, Matt Levy, Jerry Guthrie, Sinead Black, and it's all down in the beautiful surroundings of the Sleeve Russell Hotel in Cavan, just when you might need something to look forward to, between the 3rd and 6th of February 2025. And Katie, the reason we're giving people plenty of notice is because maybe it's something you might wish to pay into, but also maybe it could be your Christmas present sorted.
Yeah.
It's €489 per person sharing, which sounds like a big chunk, but break that down between the hotel, the coach, the dinner, the breakfast, and all that musical entertainment. I think you've put together a really great package here, Katie. It's going to be great.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to this one, actually, because I haven't been to the Sleeve Russell as yet, but it just looks so beautiful. It really, really does. They've got beautiful gardens all around it. They have a golf course. They have a beautiful spa. You know, like, it's very almost regal looking in the lobby. Everything's just kind of that oldie worldy, you know, like you're living like a queen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always feel like I should, do you
or
know?
A king. Me personally speaking.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So and like that, we had like the nightly entertainment. So it'll be, the first night is a dance, and then we've a concert in the middle of the night, dance at the end. We will have a broadcast from there as well. So we'll have plenty of spot prizes and that kind of thing.
It's just fun from beginning
week,
to end. So Monday night, David James and the Ryan Turner Band, that's a dance. Yeah. On Tuesday night, a brilliant concert lineup here. You've got Robert Mazzell, Olivia Douglas, Jack Kyo, Jerry Guthrie, Matt Levy. They're all performing down there for you.
Yeah.
On Wednesday night then, Michael English and his band closing the show. Sinead Black's going to be on hand to provide musical entertainment throughout the trip. So maybe you don't like to fly. You know, maybe you'd like to have a staycation or not have to travel too far. Everybody's different, aren't they? So this is a little mini and quite a major holiday just right there where the evenings are the shortest in at the start of February. Sounds
and the
fantastic.
Monday and the Monday is actually the bank holiday Monday now that we get now in February. So it's like for anyone who's
Saint
taking
Bridget's
time
Day,
off work for it or anything like that. Yeah, it's St. Bridget's Day.
Saint Bridget's Day, yeah.
So for anybody who takes time off work to join us on our trips, our country music trips, it's one less day that you have to take because you get it off already.
Yep.
And I always kind of like to think that, you know, like the Sleeve Russell is, it's far enough away that the travel is part of the fun, do you know? But it's not too far that you're, you know, like when you're coming home, it's not a million miles down the road. So you're home and good time and all that kind of thing on the Thursday as well. So yeah, we look forward to looking after everybody, and it goes on sale from today, and it'll be up on our outlet at 12, and we'll be taking bookings over the phone as well.
Yeah, that's on our website. Click into the outlet section or call us here at 07491 25000 for more information. So just to recap, as I say, €489 per person sharing. That gets you three nights, isn't it?
The 6th is the day you come back.
The inclusive dates always do my head in, not just with this, but with everything, right?
Okay.
So it's just inclusive because there's third, fourth, fifth, sixth, 4 days.
4 days, three nights, yeah.
Get you. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Right, okay. So from the 3rd of February to the 6th of February, you're coming home on the 6th. You get three nights accommodation in the world-renowned Sleeve Russell Hotel in and of itself. 489, you know what I mean? We know what hotel prices are like nowadays. But not only that, you also get dinner each night from their wonderful restaurant there. Not only that, when you get up in the morning, you get your brekkie. So yeah. You can see we're chipping away at this 489 here, aren't
well,
we?
Well, do you know what?
You also don't have to drive down or drive back. Mm-hmm. We'll do that for you.
Yeah. Well, we were looking to kind of go away in November for just one night, myself and Dermot. And we were thinking, we'll just go away for a bite to eat and stay over somewhere. And you know, so I was looking up spa packages in different hotels, both down the southeast and in Donegal. As options, and the cheapest that I could get for a 25-minute spa treatment, dinner, bed and breakfast for one night was €501. Mm. So when you think three nights, dinner, bed and breakfast, and all your entertainment and people at hand who will look after you for the whole time,
yep. So
it
the
is
Monday
actually
nights,
a good value. Yeah.
David James and the Ryan Turner Band, who are incredibly busy at the moment, and for good reason. That's a dance. There's a concert with Matt Levy, Jerry Guthrie, Jack Kyo, Olivia Douglas and Robert Mazzell on the Tuesday night. Then the Wednesday night, to get you all prepped for your trip home the next day, there's a dance with Michael English and his band, and that'll be interspersed with entertainment from Sinead Black. And who's to say what else might be chucked in there between now and February? So do you have to pay everything now?
Oh, no. €100 deposit per person sharing will hold the place.
Yeah.
And then the remaining balance probably due around sometime around the start to mid January, I would say.
So,
yeah.
I mean, this is a cracking Christmas present that many people, not everyone, many people could sort of pay into between now and then, because you can do that as well.
Yeah.
And I'm heading, we're all heading towards Christmas and your significant offer, and you, what do you get them? You know, what can you get someone that means something? So this is going to be a cracker. Okay, and there's a lot of value in there for those of you who can afford that. A lot of value. You've just heard Katie's example there. So go on to our website, highlandradio.com, from 12. You can book there or give us a call at 07491 25000, and €100 per person sharing secures your place. We don't expect the total. We don't need the total until the mid of January. So we're in, what is it, September still?
Mid-September,
loads of time.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Brilliant. Get that in the bag. And then you've got something to look forward to in February. You know, and as I say, not everyone wants to fly or whatever. And you said a good point there, Katie. It's nice sort of to be not too far from home, but far enough away that you feel like you've done something.
Because the journey is good crack, you know. Like when we went away on our country music trip last year, it was just the journey was all part of the crack, you know. Oh. And people did enjoy it, and you know, like each bus had their own little sing songs and all that kind of thing going on. So we try and make it as good fun from the minute you sort of get on the bus at Highland Radio until you come back to Highland Radio on the last day. So
okay. Right, 086 60 25000, by the way, if you want to text or WhatsApp. Also give us a call on 07491 25000. Now, One Night in Glenloch, as part of the Bluestack Festival, One Night at Glenloch. It's a new play by Sean Byrne, author of Margaret and An Incident with Dave Cotter. It'll premiere on the 26th and 27th of September in the Bala Theatre. The play deals with the summer Welsh poet Dylan Thomas, the summer he spent in West Donegal back in 1935 in the remote coastal region of Glenloch, near the village of Glencolumbkill. It's starring acclaimed actor Frankie McLafferty as Liam and Aidan Moriarty as Dylan, with the direction by the accomplished Charlie Boner. And this promises one not to be missed. But let us find out more why. Good morning, Frankie.
Good morning.
How are you getting on?
I'm grand. How are you doing?
Fantastic. And who's this gentleman to your left? I don't have him in my notes.
To my left here is Charles Boner.
Charles Boner, the director. We actually got the director,
yes,
Charles.
Yes, indeed. How's it going, Greg?
Fantastic stuff. I'll start with you, Charles, then, Charlie, if that's all right. Talk to me about this place. It's a fascinating setup.
It's an incredible idea. It's wonderful. Sean has come up with a wonderful idea. It's based on a true story. Now, what happens within the four walls of this cottage in Donegal is another story entirely. But he did actually come over here. He was he became an overnight sensation, Dylan Thomas, in London at 19 years of age. The time when a lot of people would have been very much into poetry. So he was pretty much like an equivalent of a rock star in his time in London, and he kind of lost the plot, and he went on mad binges and having a crack with all these other kind of artistic ne'er-do-wells, I suppose, in one way. And he was burning himself out so much, and he had two more books of poetry to write, two more albums to more or less put together. So they got worried about him. And there was a man, an American artist, Kent, who came to Glenloch years ago, which is about 10 miles away from any civilized part of the world at all. and at a cottage there. He'd fixed up a cottage there, and they went. He recommended them to go there, so they sent him to this cottage to kind of dry out and to get his muse back and get his inspiration back and to write more poetry. And in the play, though, unfortunately, the only person that does call up to him more than once every day is his postman. But his postman happens to be the best watching maker in the county.
Okay.
So it finds you, doesn't
it? It always finds you, the booze. Frankie, a lot to work with here in this. It sounds like there's a lot of range you'll be using.
It's a very theatrical kind of a piece. It's physical. There's a lot of vocal stuff. And we have a fantastic actor from Dublin called Aidan Moriarty, who's playing Dylan Thomas, and he's phenomenal. So, yeah, it's fun. It's hard work, but it's good fun.
Yeah, but there's parts of us to explore through this as well, isn't it? Which all good writing does, Charlie.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's there trying to... he's trying to work. He's a very... We have to keep remembering, I mean, although at 19 years of age, you're much more of a grown man in 1935 than in 2024, but he's still a very young man trying to work out who he is and what's going on, and a whole new world that he's literally thrust into so quickly. And there's no support groups like they are now. So he's very much trying to articulate his fears and anxieties and Liam shares his past with him as well. So it's wonderfully articulate in that respect of trying to navigate his way and trying to work out his worth and trying to work out how to approach life.
Yeah, and the setting, I'm not familiar with the work, to be completely honest with you, but if it's set in this cottage primarily for this weekend, it lends itself really well to telling the story on the stage, because you can put all the focus into the characters and the language and the exchanges.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, in a way, because they're coming kind of so far away from everyone as well, there's an air of kind of cabin fever there as well, and, you know, a lot of crazy stuff that goes on altogether. And of course that wildness that will be in a lot of these kind of high octane artistic people, you know, they've so much within them, and it has to come out, and it has to manifest itself in some way as well. So it's just unfortunate that there had to be drink involved, as usual.
Yeah, Frankie, how do you approach this in terms of, I suppose, you know, formulating the character, telling the story of a person that is real and you know, a real enough scenario? There's a lot of work for you to do in portraying this character and the type of character that he is.
Well, yeah, and you draw on your own experience and your memory. My father was a musician in the Paddy McCafferty show band, and then he was a kind of a travelling rep for years. So he used to go around the whole county, and when I was a kid, he'd bring me with him. So I'm sort of tapping into that, my memory of stories that he had and all the folklore and the old beliefs and stuff, because they're all in here. But to answer your question, every time you do a new play, and this is new writing, to me it always feels like you've no idea how to do it, like you're starting completely from scratch, which is kind of important, scary, but it's important. But I'm lucky to have quite a lot of experience, though. So you use the techniques that you're trained and, you know, all your declamation and voice projection and stuff. But a lot of this one's kind of nice because it's back home in Donegal, and, you know, my mother's folks are out from West Donegal, so... It's all in there. It's in me somewhere, you know.
It's going to be interesting, this whole notion of you put yourself in the position of the publisher, perhaps sending him over there to deal with his success. Little did he know the postman Carrie Potchin. But sure, look, it is what it is. All right, Charlie, from your directing perspective, any unique challenges or particularly interesting challenges with this piece of work, or bonuses, or whatever it might be?
Yeah, I thank God myself as an actor as well. I have an awful lot of experience working over the years with new plays, but it's to try and draw out as much that's in there and try and an awful lot of sifting through an awful lot of the writing as well to try and pull out the roots of the anxieties and the roots of where they are and who they are and where they're going. It's been a wonderful experience. I mean, I've got two top class actors who are doing an awful lot of heavy lifting for us as well, which is wonderful. You know, it's allowing, there's an awful lot of kind of gentle pauses and gentle situations, allowing the play to live and allowing the audience to live along with the play as it's happening as well. So it's not starting at 90 mile an hour and going to 100, you know, where there's an awful lot of gentle kind of transitions and stuff too, which give you that sense of these guys are just in the middle of nowhere with, you know, kind of someone who'll watch over me kind of situation, you know, with very little to do and trying to draw track from each other as well. And
all right, it's when One Night in Glenloch, and it is on the 26th and 27th of September. It's premiering in the Ballad Theatre those two nights. So a fantastic night guaranteed for those that attend. And it's a great story as well. And it's been lovely speaking to you, Frankie. Thank you so much for your time, Frankie McCafferty there. And Charlie Boner, lovely to speak to you gentlemen.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, best of luck with it, lads. I'm sure it'll be a huge success for you. So that is In the Baller. The 26th and 27th of September. The box office is manned there right now if you want to secure your tickets for a night out. Interest for you there, Michael?
Oh, big time. I won't see it because I'm working those nights. I'm tied up. But I love Charlie. Charlie is the real deal. Charlie is the real deal. So as an actor and as a director. So I was actually chatting about this yesterday. A friend of mine's going. I'm very envious. Very envious. Yeah, okay, and that's an exciting...
you go to a lot, so sometimes you're going to miss out and things.
Ah, yeah. It's
okay.
Yeah.
You okay, Katie? Katie okay? Yeah.
Am I okay?
Yeah.
I'm marvellous.
I thought we lost you there for a second.
No, I was just listening. Stare
into the middle, stare to the middle distance.
You are marvellous. Just keep saying that.
Hello, folks. Could you let your listeners know that there'll be a performance of Turlough O'Carolan's music here at Donegal Castle in Donegal Town tonight? Admission is free, but places are now extremely limited, so booking is required. The musical performance will begin at 7:30 tonight. To make a reservation, here's the number for you, 9722405. We have an email address here as well. What a setting to see live music performed in Donegal Castle. Oh, I love that. Very few tickets available for that, by the way, so if you want to go, you need to get in there. There's a concert tonight in the Regional Cultural Centre for Culture Night. The choirs Kjol, La Kiela, LUH Choir, Colum Kill Choir, and... Kroalia, is it? Thank you. Breed, if I've made any mistakes there, I'm sorry. But it's in the Regional Control Centre tonight. If you like choirs, they will cater for all your choir needs by the sounds of it. Another great thing to get on to tonight, there's lots going on always, isn't there? Do you know what I mean? If you had more days in the week, it'd be great. Because tonight, there's a memorial dance in memory of Eamon McDevitt of the Good and New Cancer Bus, who many, many people hold dear. A memorial dance in Eamon's memory. It's tonight in the Station House Hotel in Letterkenny. It runs from 9 till midnight, and it's in aid of the Good and New Cancer Bus. And how fitting is that, that it's in memory of Eamon and to support the service he supported so much through his life. Music tonight by Evelyn and the Tulsa Band. Spot prizes on the night. So... sounds like that's going to be another good night. And finally, I'll come back to that in a moment. We're going to take a break and then we're back with our last quarter with Michael and Katie. Okay. Okie doke. Today, another dry and sunny day. Temperatures 17 to 20 degrees. Tomorrow, mist and fog will clear to leave an afternoon of another dry and bright day. Temperatures again 17 to 19 degrees. Sunday's looking similar. And then Monday, whilst it is not going to switch rapidly, the weather is going to get more seasonal. Hi, Greg and the TV trio, including Fionnuala, probably listening with a pina colada by the pool in Salou. Always the same when in holiday, it's warmer here. Has anyone seen Perfect Couple? I tried to like it, but the acting was all over the place. I heard someone say it's like Fair City won the lotto. Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Kevin. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not warming to it, but we shall see. He goes on to say it's been a week of anniversaries, as I hear that it's 30 years this week of Friends and ER. There you go.
Wow.
Veronica Mars, 20 years on Sunday.
Oh,
but it was 40 years last Friday for the Rockford Files, and same for Frasier. Today, sadly, no remake for Jim Rockford. But Frasier reboot is back with season two today, with a few more familiar faces. By the way, don't forget the Farrell Colin that is in The Penguin tonight, as he's unrecognisable in his role. Looking forward to it. Yeah, I don't get the point of putting high-paid actors in positions and then making them unrecognisable, but I suppose it is.
It's 50 years for the Rockford Files, and I celebrated last Saturday night with a two-hour Rockford Files reunion movie from the 90s. So I marked
Say would put you amongst a group of one person in the entire county that did that.
Possibly, yeah. That's why it's not on my list.
About it at all. It's not on my list. There's literally no one else in this county
celebrated the
Rockford Files half anniversary by watching
a two-hour reunion movie from 1996.
I mean, you're weird. But you are weird. It's lovely, actually. I just need to sort of try and find that passion about something in my life. Yeah. Maybe a spreadsheet or such. Rebel Ridge on Netflix, dear.
Yeah, this was great. In fact, they say that anything you read about it tells you that it'll get you within the first couple of minutes, and it actually does really pull you in from the first couple of from the very, very start. Aaron Pierre, now I hadn't really heard of him, and it's not surprising. I look back on his acting history and it seems he's only active since 2017. Don Johnson, Miami Vice, Nash Bridges, Django Unchained, amongst many things that he's been in over the years. And it's supposed to be kind of, it's not a true story, it's obviously completely fictional, but it is meant to be sort of based on events that could unfold, this is what the writers say, or have potential to unfold in a more of a mishmash of things that could unfold. So a Marine who is stopped by the guards or the cops on the Gardaí. He's stopped by the police on the side of the road, and they basically give him a citation for something. I don't want to say too much because it is.
I know what you're saying.
Basically, it's in a small town. It's set in a small fictional town in the States, and there's a lot of corruption, and he kind of uncovers a lot of corruption.
Someone said there was Rocky vibes to it. Does that make any sense?
No.
Okay, now maybe they were talking of a different film.
Rambo? Rambo vibes?
Rambo vibes.
Rambo, yes.
Rambo, Sylvester Stallone.
Coming into a small town and basically being hard done by and then basically coming back and showing them all. It's not as violent as Rambo. Like, it's kind of a softened, the violence kind of softened. Now, there is one or two bits where you're kind of like, oh, that looks sore. But it is good. The only thing about it, I found the ending quite underwhelming. Oh. And it's almost like they were kind of, it was going away and it was going and going. And it was like, it just ended. And I said to Dermot, what happened there? And he said, oh, I think this. And I was like, is that it? Yeah, I think so. And I was like, oh, so the ending kind of spoiled it for me a little bit.
Did he agree with you?
He did.
Okay.
Yeah, he did.
Now, it's a film, which is good.
Yeah.
And it's on the telly, which is excellent. And we can watch it with our eyes, which is remarkable.
Yeah.
Aaron Pierre looks a little bit like Anthony Joshua. He's got those vibes off him. And Anthony Joshua's fighting tomorrow night, which is what I'm excited about. I don't care about anything else.
Anything else?
So everything I'm looking at, that's
over
it.
My head. Yeah. Don't know what that's
over in Wembley. 96,000 people are going to watch fantastic night of boxing.
96,000.
I was thinking of that the whole way through you speaking.
Were you? Well,
you've got your passion. Yeah. You have your passion.
And have you?
Because I was watching him and I was thinking, right, okay.
Have you seen it? Or did you bother?
It hasn't happened yet. It's on tomorrow night. Yeah, it's live.
What? Rebel Ridge.
No. But do you know what? I'm thinking maybe tonight, actually. I might watch it tonight.
Yeah.
Because I think, like a good film.
Mm. Yeah. This has been recommended to me by a few
And it kind of has old school vibes to it. Do you know
Tommy.
What I mean? Some
does,
films try and be so bloody clever nowadays.
Yeah, that's it. It does kind of have old school action movie vibes to it. And it is...
And Don Johnson looks fantastic in it.
He does.
I don't want to bring aging to it, but
he does. And he's very good in it too. He's a very good actor.
Yeah, never a Miami Vice fan, but I've seen him in so many other things, or Nash Bridges, funnily enough. But he's a good actor.
He's had a very good career. But he's not A-list, but he's been in lots of A-list stuff. He's one of those funny kind of actors.
Yeah.
That he's been in everything, but he's not a superstar.
I agree.
But he's very reliable and he's been in some fantastic films.
Mm. Yeah, well, like I say, this one now would pull you in from the very start. It is, and it keeps you engaged for the whole movie. It just the at the end for me, and I'd be curious to see after you watch it what you think.
Mm. Yeah. Well, if any of our listeners out there, have you watched Rebel Ridge? We've only about 3 minutes. Text us 086 60 25,000 as soon as you can and let us know if you're getting the same vibes that Katie is. Please play a request for Una and Seamus McGrory, Drumna Craig, Port Salon, celebrating their wedding anniversary today. Best wishes from Susan and Seamus. So with all that in mind then, what would you give the end, including the ending, what are you giving the entire experience out of 10?
I would give it 8, but I would have given it higher if the ending was better.
Well, that's 2. Wow. So it's not an unreasonable compromise.
The ending, fair, yeah. The ending wouldn't turn me off recommending it to watch, but it's just, you know, like, so long as you're prepared for the ending not to be... Yeah,
but me and Michael the type can't watch that till we forget what you've just said, because I'll be just waiting for the ending the whole time. Is that the ending? Watch it at the start. Yeah, okay. I might do a memento on it and sort of gets better as you watch it. Do you want to... Can you do a quickie on us? In the last 2 minutes?
They're all pretty hip. Do you want to... Okay, let me think for a second. Okay, do you want to update Who Killed Emma?
Oh, yeah, cool.
I listened to the 2024 episodes. This was the podcast you talked about last week.
I started tried to start it in bed, but I lasted 15 minutes. No, it's not heavy. I just fell asleep. Eyes were heavy.
The 2021 episodes followed the investigation, but it was open-ended because at that stage, the journalist from the BBC had tracked down who she believed was the killer.
Yeah.
The podcast came back this year because there was big developments in the case. So the updated episodes, obviously the case is of interest and it's fascinating and you get to hear the ins and outs of the detective work, etc. But what really is pulling me in and what I really enjoyed about these 5 episodes that are brand new is we get into the nitty-gritty of the cover-up and to why and how, and there is going to be a public inquiry, so the story's not over. Mm. The story is not over. And I do think... I hope they go back to, but I do. There's a lot more going to come out.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to it, but I just realise now I can't. I can put on The World Tonight or some news or something if I need to nod off to something. But I can't do something that
heavy.
I want to.
You want to listen to? You want to listen to? Yeah, because you fade off.
It's a driving job for me, which I look forward to. Who killed Emma?
You're on the road a lot, yeah.
So I've bookmarked that on Spotify.
I think you'll enjoy it.
That's where it is for me, Spotify, but it's elsewhere. Michael Leddy, as always, it's an absolute pleasure having you call up. We look forward to speaking to you next week. Katie, as always, thank you very much indeed.
No problem.
If you want to ring Katie to talk more about the cabin trip.
Oh, the cabin trip. I thought you were going to say Rebel Ridge.
No. Talk more about the cabin trip.
Oh, no, actually, that's not funny. Definitely ring about the cabin trip.
I can be professional when
I thought you were going to set up a Rebel Ridge line.
You can get in contact with her just as we come off air there now. €100 per head books your place on that trip at the start of February just to have something to look forward to as we go through the dark days of December and into January. And you can pay in right up until the mid of January. But Katie will give you all those deets. Don't worry about that or any of our team here on the phones. Okay, thanks very much, Katie. Thanks very much, Michael. Yeah, okay. And thank you very much, listeners. We'll be back with you on Monday morning at 9.